We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Episode 114 of the most energetic, in-your-face, interactive show in South Carolina. You're Offsides with me, Mark Ryan, and Lonzo Reitzel, right here on ESPN Upstate. Great to be with you on a Friday Eve edition of the show, and what a show it is going to be. He is one of People Magazine's 50 most beautiful people. He'll be joining us in studio. Lonzo, stop fawning. Stop fawning, Lonzo. John Harkes, former captain of the U.S. men's national team, current head coach of the Greenville Triumph, will be in studio at 3:20. Very excited about that. There's a trade the Braves could make that could take them to World Series contention. Our baseball guy, Diddy, will join us in 140 at 140 in studio about that. Also, I have a new blog up. MLB, Major League Baseball, has created momentum. Here's how they can sustain it. I will get to that topic at 1:20. Plus, either or, where the ESPYs got it right, where the ESPYs got it wrong, and at 3:20 when Coach Harkes is in studio. To the first caller in the 3:20 segment, we will give you a four-pack of tickets to this Saturday's Greenville Triumph home game against Orlando City's B team, USL League One. Four-pack of tickets to the first caller when we have John Harkes, Coach John Harkes, in studio coming up at 3:20. Now, a little surprise for Lonzo. Lonzo, I mentioned to you a couple of days ago that I was working on a guest for you, with you in mind, but not just for you, all people of your kind. people that like the sports that you do, the comic books that you do, the video games that you do. And I mean this very affectionately. And if you're ready, Lonzo, I'll share with you who will be joining the show at 2 p.m. tomorrow. You ready?
That's kind of a short time. Yeah, I'm ready. At least you didn't say 2 o'clock today. Then it'd be like, what?
2 o'clock tomorrow. Are you complaining? If you want to complain, I can get rid of the guest.
I'm not complaining. No.
Booker T will be joining the show.
Finally.
Booker T.
Finally.
I'm getting you Booker T and you're complaining.
Because I've been asking. You said you did a show with Booker T, which I still don't.
No, wait a minute.
I'm curious if he was in the same building.
No, I didn't do a show with Booker T.
Okay.
He did the show immediately after mine.
Ah, okay.
And what he would come into the studio. What are those? Like hoverboards things that people would ride in? You know those, they look kind of like a sideways skateboard.
And you mean a Segway?
Segway. Okay. But Segways, is that what they're called?
Yeah.
Okay, because I see cops on things that they call Segways, too.
Yeah, Weird Al wrote one during
his
concert.
But this isn't a thing with handles. It looks like a sideways skateboard.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about,
right?
But it's kind of like a Segway without the handlebar.
Right, so he would ride a Segway into the studio, and Booker T would host the show after mine on Sunday afternoons at Sports Radio 610 in Houston. He's since moved across the street and is now hosting a show at a different sports station in Houston. But I have friends at that station, and I said, hey, man, my producer literally would be drooling if we were able to pull this off. Can we do it? So five-time champion, Booker T. Lonzo, we did a roast of Booker T when I was at that station in Houston. Like, we made it a big charity event, hosted it at a comedy club. He was fantastic. It was the most harsh roast you've ever seen in your life. And my main man took every single joke. So Booker T, five-time world champion, 2 p.m. tomorrow, right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan. About 2 million Twitter followers for one Booker T. And if you are a fan of wrestling, first of all, I'm sorry to your parents. But if you are, Booker T will be joining us tomorrow at 2 p.m. Feelings, Lonzo? Excited?
for
you
that?
You realize you're going to be doing at least half of that interview, right?
So I can do the entire thing. I just I have some questions about a couple of things that I need to follow up on to make sure that I'm accurate on. But, I mean, if he was coming on in the next 5 minutes, I'd be ready. So, I mean, we're good.
Okay. 2 p.m. tomorrow. Make sure you stick and stay for that. Also, 2:40 tomorrow. Teasing ahead here, Lonzo and I will be attempting the bottle cap challenge here in studio. 2:40 tomorrow. Don't shake your head at me, Lonzo. It will be happening and you will love it.
I'm still shaking my head about your insistence of liquid in the bottle. And I will tell you again, if there's liquid in the bottle, I ain't doing it because I don't want to lose my job over a stunt when the equipment blows up.
No, you're not going to. It's not going to. We'll figure that out. We have time to figure that out.
Because I will kick the bottle, but I probably will not kick the lid. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I've got to find. I got to get a bigger bottle than just a regular water bottle like this. You know, I got to get one of those. But that still has a small. We're talking. We need like a Gatorade top. You know?
No. So you're going off of what Stephen Wonderboy Thompson did, which was amazing. But most people,
it's easier. The bigger the lid, the easier it is to kick off.
I was going to say, but most people use this size lid. I'm just saying.
Okay. Well, we'll see how it goes between now and tomorrow. if you can't do it with your hand, it doesn't bode well for you being able to do it with your foot.
I wanted to see how loose it had to be kicked off.
So, yeah, evidently looser.
Yes.
Right? Okay. All right, folks. So I was watching, we're going to get to some talk on the ESPYs today, where the ESPYs got it right, where the ESPYs got it wrong. But I was looking at ESPN, who is the parent company of our affiliation, of course. We are ESPN Upstate, ESPN Radio affiliate here in South Carolina. And ESPN posted a graphic the other day. They had Megan Rapinoe on the graphic. They had Brandi Chastain when she took her shirt off in 1999 when they won the World Cup in the graphic. They had Alex Morgan sipping the cup of tea in the graphic. And there was simply one word on the graphic, and it said iconic. And I said, man, that is a strong word, iconic. Is that a word that's overused? I remember when I worked in Atlanta, people called, and this was after Michael Vick was the quarterback, so he had long since been gone, long since got out of prison. But I was in Atlanta 5 years ago, and I heard somebody say that Michael Vick was the most iconic athlete ever to play there, right? And I said, man, if he's an icon, we're using the word icon too loosely. So the word iconic, according to Webster's Dictionary, I've looked it up, means widely recognized and well-established, widely known and acknowledged, especially for distinctive excellence. Okay, so then I've taken that and I've created my own few words to describe what it means to be an icon. And I'm giving you the definition of a symbol of legendary greatness. That's what it means to be an icon or iconic to me. You're iconic if you are a symbol of legendary greatness. Is this U.S. women's national team that for you? And do you see them as being iconic in this particular in the United States of America? 1-844-477-3776. That's 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number. And I'm going to ask you, when I ask you that question, to remove your personal feelings politically from this. Given how viral they are, given their level of fame, given what you believe to be the magnitude of their accomplishment, are they iconic or not? Megan Rapinoe, Alex Morgan, have they reached icon status? Alex Morgan last night in the ESPYs, well, speaking for her status, just happened to take home a little hardware for the best female athlete.
Sorry, but this is probably the second best trophy we won this week. Thank you all so much, and congratulations to all the incredibly talented nominees and powerful women in this category. I think about the greats that have won this award in the past, and I'm just so honored to follow in their amazing footsteps. They not only won championships and countless records, but were an inspiration to so many, including me, as I dreamt of playing the sport that I loved. As athletes, we try to surround ourselves with the best people to help lift us up and help make this journey possible. And I'm so fortunate to have that in my life. First, my teammates. We did it! I love you guys like sisters, and I have 22 best friends. To my family, you mean everything to me. Servando, you are my ultimate teammate. And I can certainly relate to the challenges that I face every day as a professional athlete. I love you. To my parents and sisters who are here tonight and have been by my side all month in France and every day prior, I'm here standing tall and living my dream because of you. Finally, thanks to ESPN for this award, and also a big thank you for investing in the NWSL. With our new television deal, we obviously enjoy the success on the biggest stage right now, but when the World Cup is behind us, it is the professional league that we need to continually lift up and grow. Investment in women and girls should not only occur on the playing fields, but in more storytelling of badass, amazing women who continue to show that we are more than just athletes. Thank you, guys.
Well, first of all, Lonzo, you didn't have to bleep out badass.
I didn't.
Okay.
They did. My bleeps are better.
Okay.
They have a totally different tone. They've got more bass to the tone.
Okay.
That one's a little too high-pitched for me.
A little too tinny for you, huh? Rachel Barbeau, whom you might remember was a guest on this show a few weeks ago, talking about her Changing the Narrative platform, tweeted about the women's national team. You may not agree with particular politics or other things, but if you can look U.S. women's soccer team and not be proud of their collective diversity, beauty, and strength, then we need to talk and think of all the little and big dreamers that are now watching them. I quote tweeted Rachel, and I took it a step further. Not only do I agree with this, Rachel, the fact they're pissing people off makes me love them even more. Dominate the world. Be unapologetically you. If I had a bumper sticker for how I feel about life and my message to you or your kids, it would be unapologetically you. Be who you are and never apologize for that. Dominate the world, be unapologetically you, use your platform, don't give a damn if someone doesn't like it. See, because part of what to me makes these women icons is that they are stepping out of the stereotype of what a woman athlete used to be. Female athletes in the past have been quiet and soft-spoken and, you know, overly grateful. And I'm not saying these women aren't grateful, but there's a level of badass to them. There's a level of take no bleep from them that I absolutely love. They've got a chip on their shoulder. They're incredible, and they're going to let you know it. And I think that is so darn refreshing. They're not the cute little girls in the neighborhood with Capri Sun and orange slices. They're coming after you, and they're coming after what they've earned, and they're like the honey badger. They're going to take what they want. And I love that about them. I absolutely positively love that about them. I truly do. So my question to you, as I ask you this question, is the women's national team, are they iconic? Would you classify icons? I get the fact that we throw around some words too often, right? I mean, we throw around superlatives like they're nothing, and these words stop meaning things to us. Whenever I write a commercial for a client, I try not to use words. I don't use words like great or best, because best pizza, great auto repair doesn't mean anything to you. You've heard it a million times over, right? What does mean something to you is if I tell you why it's the best, why it's the greatest. Some words have become platitudes. They don't mean anything anymore. I think stars, the word star is overused. I think the word great is overused. I think the word proud is overused. Some would say the word icon is overused. But these women, given their power and given what they're doing in the United States, are absolutely icons. And you must not miss that fact. You must not. I mean, folks, this is massive. This is a movement, what they're doing here today. My question to you is this. If you are in the camp as I am in the camp of, I love these women. I love what they've done. I don't agree with everything that they say, but that doesn't affect my feelings for them. And that doesn't affect the level of pride they gave me watching them. Then great. If you're on the other side, if you're on the, I'm not watching those damn women say they're not going to the White House and all this stuff. Are you capable of liking someone, supporting someone, cheering for someone who makes you uncomfortable? If not, try it. It's a great step in personal growth. Things that push you outside of your comfort zone, things that push your boundaries, help you grow. You guys don't know this, and I won't give you the why here, but Lonzo and I were getting into a discussion off the air about something yesterday toward the end of the show that makes him uncomfortable. And I said to Lonzo, man, if you do it, you'll grow. Do it and you'll grow. Do what makes you uncomfortable. Step outside of your comfort zone. Do those things. Are you capable of liking somebody that makes you uncomfortable? I can. And I invite you to do the same thing. We like to stay in our comfortable little cozy boxes. We like it. They're comfortable. We like to stay in our little window seats.
You know what? I'm going to remind you of this when WWE rolls around, because all you do is make fun of WWE and, you know, booger eating, moved out of my basement, all this kind of stuff. That's out of your comfort zone.
No. Yeah, wrestling doesn't make me comfortable.
You don't want to give it a chance. No, it doesn't make me any of that,
Lonzo,
stuff.
You got to realize it doesn't make me uncomfortable. I find it childish. Okay? There's a big difference there. A big difference there.
No difference.
But I'll give it a chance. I'm happy to give it a chance. I'll always do that. Step outside your boundaries and recognize these women for who they are and what they've done, because the women's national team is a movement and these ladies are truly icons in sports.
By the way, I disagree with the icon status. I don't think you can give it to a team or a person when something happens. 5 years from now, if you remember this team, then they're iconic. I remember Brandi Chastain. I remember what she did. I couldn't tell you who else was on the team. She had an iconic moment. Did they have an iconic moment during? Yeah, they won the World Cup for the second time. But did they have a moment that will stand out in everyone's mind when someone mentions a team and go, oh, yeah, I remember when they did this? I don't think that they did. And for a movement to work, whatever the movement is, it actually has to have results. And you won't know if there are results in this movement till 5 to 10 years from now.
Well, they've already had 5 to 10 years from now, Lonzo, and I'm sorry to burst your bubble. They have had 5 to 10 years because this team won the last World Cup. This team has been building an iconic movement for the last 5 years. And there's many iconic moments from this year's World Cup. Megan Rapinoe's arms outstretched. You mean to tell me Alex Morgan's cup of tea drink isn't an iconic sign of us beating England 2 days before our National Independence Day?
Here's the thing. For something to be iconic, it transcends fandom. So you're a fan, obviously, because you've gushed over this for the last couple of weeks. I am a semi-fan. I watch the women when they compete in the World Cup. I care less about soccer. But for it to be an iconic moment, it has to transcend fandom. It has to be something that years from now, even if you didn't like soccer at all, you would know. Here's something that transcends fandom. Your quoting of wrestling, okay? And I'm just throwing that in there as an example. Even though you don't watch it, you have no idea who you're quoting, you've heard it enough that you say it. And trust me, what you're saying, it's been applicable, it's worked and everything. But when it comes to this, I'm sorry, I don't think there's anything they've done other than the disrespectful things that Rapinoe has done that will stand out 10 years from now.
Absolutely 100% wrong. The cup of tea, the celebrations, the camaraderie, their dominance, 2 World Cups in a row, multi-million followers, multi-millionaire followers for these women. What they've done for little girls, these are iconic women, and there's absolutely no doubt that there's really no argument to the contrary. If ESPN says it, it must be true, right? Coming up next, MLB has created momentum. Here's how they can sustain it. My name is Mark Ryan. You're listening to Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
We were both wrong, Lonzo. It's called a hoverboard, says a texter, not a Segway.
Yeah.
A Segway is that thing that police officers ride.
Yeah.
A hoverboard, it's referenced in Back to the Future. But those things, man, I've seen Mike Tyson completely eat it on a hardwood floor. Riding a hoverboard around.
I thought those were the ones that started blowing up, so people quit using them.
No, we were mentioning that we're going to have, in honor of Lonzo, I've been telling Lonzo I would try to get him this guest for a while now, and tomorrow we have five-time world champion wrestler Booker T. Five-time. He would always say that, five-time. Five-time wrestler Booker T.
It's one of his catchphrases.
We'll be joining the show 24 and a half hours from right now, 2 p.m. on Friday. And he would always ride the hoverboard into the studio at Houston. You'd see him riding down the hallway in his hoverboard. Crack me up, man. I'm a wrestling fan. Can we ask questions to Booker, please? Absolutely. Send me your questions. I will pick the best one. You can send me your questions via the text line 71307, via Twitter to me at Mark Ryan on air, M-A-R-C Ryan on air, to Lonzo at Lonzo on word. And you can also email your questions to me, to Booker T, Mark Ryan, M-A-R-C Ryan, at ESPNUpstate.com.
Quick question to you. Can I see the questions before you ask them? Just because, I mean, it may be something. I don't want you to embarrass yourself.
I don't care.
These people are smart, and they know that you're not a wrestling fan, and they may try to slip something in there that would embarrass you, like, you know, with what happened with a certain female wrestler. Although you did that to yourself, but still.
I'll show you the questions. I'll show you the questions.
I'm just trying to help you out.
You would be better at picking the best ones than I would, right? So, I mean, I'm sure there would be good questions that come in. You can pick them out. Another texter says five-time world heavyweight champion. Lonzo keeps showing me fingers. I have no idea what that means.
I'm showing the five, man. He does this every single time.
Yeah, okay.
You gotta do that. And you gotta say it five times. You can't say it once.
The ESPYs, Mark Ryan, has been straight garbage since that Jenner bullcrap. Never watched it again after that. Politics suck, but the women's national team is most definitely iconic. I still watched and cheered, says the texter. I would completely and totally agree with that notion. I absolutely positively would. Robert Dayton tweets into the show, "It's obvious that you do not have children or grandchildren. You think somehow that these women soccer athletes are representing the country? Glad they won, but with incredible disrespect they have for our country and president is what will be remembered and regretted. Is what will be remembered and regretted by you, Robert, because you're one of those people that chooses to be upset about everything." Okay, I'm just telling you the way it is. I would choose to go to the White House. But would you, Robert, agree with me that the women have a right to choose not to go to the White House? That is their right, correct? It's not what I would do. I wouldn't choose to disrespect the president of the United States. I wouldn't say, F no, I'm not going to go. I wouldn't choose to do that. Okay? And, you know, what's also getting to me is, you know, some of the women are getting unnecessary heat for they were trying to take a picture and they dropped the flag, and it's kind of a knee-jerk reaction when you've got something in your hand and you need to put your arms around somebody, you drop something. Okay? Is it a mistake? Yes. Should you drop the flag? No. Okay? But the fact that, like, a split-second decision when you're taking a picture, somebody drops the flag and then they immediately have the oh bleep reaction, I just dropped the flag. They go and Kelly O'Hara went and picked up the flag because they dropped it. You don't get to just slam somebody for that, okay? I put that in the honest mistake category, okay? It's a symbolism thing. You don't want the flag to hit the ground. I get it. It's why I was going to get in so much trouble when I was at Florida State as a member of the University of Florida marching band, and I unrolled their Florida State flag and stomped all over it. People don't, I mean, that's what you do to a rival. It's not what you do to a country flag. I get it, but I think the women are getting unfairly bashed for this. You know, the other thing that I think is interesting about this is not only did Alex Morgan win the best female athlete of the year, but the women's national team won the team of the year. And they beat a Clemson 15-0 Clemson team for team of the year. Was that the right call? Was that the wrong call? At 2 p.m. this afternoon, we're going to go through. Lonzo, if you can pull some awards music for that segment, that'd be great. But we're going to go through awards-wise, where did the ESPYs get it right? Where did the ESPYs get it wrong? That is coming your way at 2 p.m. Lonzo, help my man out on this wrestling situation. He's a Clemson hater, which is the underdog these days in South Carolina. Help him out, please, at T-Bone21. Sir, I would ask you, who is the Clemson hater? The one who has said at least 75% positive things about Clemson, me, or the person who said, as an Ohio State fan, he would be much more likely to have a Michigan fan to his home to watch a game than a Clemson fan ever? Another texter says, these women aren't going to the White House with the president because they really don't want to have a conversation with him. That's 100% accurate. That's 100% right. But see, my argument would be, don't you make more progress by having the conversation with people that you don't like, with people that make you uncomfortable? You make more progress that way, more progress with honey than vinegar. By not going, you just incense the president of the United States. You know he's incensed about that. You know the president didn't want to congratulate them on winning the World Cup because he knew they would be declining his invitation to go see him. It's their right to do that, but it's also disrespectful. And if they want to make headway with the president on their causes, the best way to do that is not insult him, it's to meet with him, right? That's what they should have done, in my opinion. All right, coming up next on the show, he could potentially bring a World Series to the Atlanta Braves. Our baseball man Diddy will join us to cover this topic next. Right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan. It's ESPN Upstate. It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Joined by a show contributor, Diddy at Diddy33, our resident baseball guy here on ESPN Upstate. I want to let you guys know I have a blog up on ESPN Upstate today. The blog is called MLB Has Created Momentum. Here's How They Can Sustain It. I share with you in this article, it's about a 3-minute read. I share with you you know, how I felt, was in love with baseball as a kid, played it, collected every card. Then, you know, baseball, I broke up with baseball. She just wasn't doing it for me anymore. And I kind of got the warm fuzzies for it again over this week with the home run derby and the All-Star game. And we might be headed for some steamy makeup sex. So I just want to let you know that this might be in my future. I know you're very, very happy for me that this could be happening. And we will see how it works out.
Keep your bats and balls to yourself.
Listen.
Hear about that.
Listen. Lonzo, no knocking the playmakers, okay? You leave the playmakers out of this. We're joined by Diddy right now at Diddy33. Joins us in studio with a take on the Atlanta Braves. Now, I've got to tell you, Diddy, I've gotten some texts about you on the text line.
Oh, God.
Okay? From people saying they don't pay attention to what you say about the Braves because you're always gung-ho on the Braves. And last year you said they were going to beat the Dodgers and they were nowhere close. So this year I look at the standings again and they're nowhere close to where the Dodgers are. The Dodgers not only are the best team in the NL, they've got the best record in all of Major League Baseball today at 60-32. The Atlanta Braves are 5.5 games beneath the Dodgers in the standings. Mm-hmm. But you potentially today have a move that you think could vault them ahead of the LA Dodgers. Now, realize there is an Atlanta Braves fan base here that is a little bit skeptical given your overly positive takes a year ago.
First of all, my overly positive takes a year ago claimed mid-season that they would make the playoffs and win the division, and I was correct. So it's not all bad and wrong. I thought maybe they had a chance to unseat the Dodgers. I thought the Dodgers kind of had a little bit of a stumbling the last couple weeks last season, and the Braves were on a streak and had a chance to maybe just upset the apple cart, take out the big dogs who think they were too good for the series. It didn't happen. That happens. But this year, the Braves are experienced. They were there. They played the National League champions, got a game off them, and at least showed up to play and didn't just get bowled over in the divisional series a year ago. They've improved their roster by bringing back Brian McCann, bringing in Josh Donaldson, and now they have a trade deadline that's quickly approaching, and there are some big names out there. And I think the best name for them to go after, the biggest name, obviously you need some probably minor pieces to put into the bullpen, but the biggest name they need to get that could put them right into that World Series contendership conversation with the Dodgers is Marcus Stroman of the Toronto Blue Jays. This guy would immediately be at least the number two starter in the rotation for the Atlanta Braves. He's got a better ERA than the entire Atlanta Braves pitching just staff, just the rotation.
I would ask the question, if they add Dallas Keuchel and Marcus Stroman to a rotation that already included Julio Teheran, how were they where they were without these guys if the rotation was that weak?
Because their offense has been clicking, and they've been able to take care of business in the way they have to take care of business as a baseball team that wants to be a contender, and that's beating up on the bad teams and then making sure you get those series wins or at least a four-game split with the really good teams. And they've been doing that consistently over the past month. They haven't lost a single series. And the only one, again, that they didn't win, they tied with the Cubs at Wrigley on the road, a tough situation to play baseball. And they've been able to just compete and stay at this level consistently for a while, even with the pitching woes that we've seen. I mean, Teheran actually, his ERA has been dropping. He's been getting better after getting shelled a few times, but I really feel like he's turning a corner. I think having Keuchel in that rotation, and if you add Marcus Stroman or somebody like that, you put a little less pressure on those guys to have to be the guy, and Soroka keeps cruising in his just phenom status right now, and you've got two guys in the top, I think, 20 in WAR for pitchers in your rotation with Stroman and Soroka. So that's a huge get, I think, for the Braves, and especially to light a fire and really get this excitement going in the Southeast for what this team can accomplish.
I get the sense still, though, that the Braves are a little bit ahead of schedule here. Like, you know, the Braves fan base who had been getting used to losing again, and they had a few losing seasons back to back to back. And correct me if I'm wrong, just you know, covering the Braves again for the first few months. Mm-hmm. John Hart is now a part of this organization again, right?
I think so, yes.
Okay, I believe he was brought to this team to kind of oversee a lot of things. Yeah. His job, the job that he did in Cleveland back in the day, was outstanding. And he said they were a few years away. Yeah. And last year they exceeded expectations. Mm-hmm. And I also get the sense that they're not supposed to be a 600 baseball team yet. And they're just about a 600 baseball team. In Major League Baseball, 600 is the mark of excellence. I'd really like to go back and look at recent World Series champions to see what percentage of them had a 60% winning percentage. But that's the mark of excellence. You look at the elite teams in MLB right now, the Yankees, the Twins, the Astros, and the Dodgers are the only four teams in Major League Baseball with a 60% winning percentage or better. Yep. In the NBA, that number is 700, right? The 700 teams each year in the NBA, those are the teams that really have a chance to win. For the Braves to be this close to 600 this early, this many question marks in the rotation and the bullpen, and really getting production that you had hoped for from guys like Ronald Acuna Jr., but maybe didn't expect this much this soon, it's really surprising to me today.
Yeah, it absolutely is, and it's got to be exciting, especially for the fan base that's very widespread really across the whole country. You see this team that really 2 years ago in the second half, they started bringing up the younger guys. Dansby Swanson got his first shot 2 years ago, and you saw this little bit of excitement, little bit of kind of more cohesive play and some better baseball down the stretch, even though they were already out of the playoff race. And it just kind of rolled up into the next season. They make some signings the next offseason. Nick Markakis being a perfect veteran to put in there. The guy's a doubles machine, just very consistent, great arm out in the outfield. You add that veteran experience. He's been in the playoffs. He knows what it's like to be in the big situations, and it helps develop those young guys. And I think they've done a great job front office-wise of bringing in the right kind of veterans to develop these younger players even faster, and that's why you're seeing this. Last year, they were supposed to sniff a wild card, maybe get into the wild card game. They won a division and made it into the playoffs. This year, they're dominating the division, and they're the second-best team in the National League, and they've scored more runs than anybody in the National League. So it's very impressive to see them do this, and their being a ability to win all these games with a pitching staff that has these question marks. That's why a move needs to be made over these next couple weeks, and guys like Stroman, maybe a Zach Wheeler, try to steal him from the Red Sox. Somebody big that's going to really solidify this rotation and give them a chance to just pick up a couple of key pieces in the bullpen and roll into the October postseason with a really good chance to go after the Dodgers.
You're right. They lead the NL in runs scored. Seven NL teams, about half of the league, have given up fewer runs than the Atlanta Braves. We've chronicled the fact that that the average of the last five World Series champions, their ERA is number eight. That's the average ERA of the last five World Series champions. Nobody, there was one exception to this, I think, but nobody in the last, only one team in the last 30 years. Do you remember who it was?
I think it was the 09 Yankees.
The 09 Yankees,
which makes,
won a World Series with an ERA as high as what the Braves is right now.
Yeah.
So give me the package for this guy. What is enough to get him? What is too much to give?
I mean, you don't want to give up any too stellar of prospects. You know, you don't want to give up these number one,
well,
two,
he's
three
an,
guys
he's
coming
an,
up.
He's an elite pitcher. You don't expect to have to give up one of those guys?
But you're also going to have to eat money because of the contract. So there's going to be some give and take on what you're giving up because of the money you're going to have to eat. And that helps out the Blue Jays, who are in a complete rebuild now. This is really one of the last few guys they have to get rid of to flip the script with the younger guys coming up, with guys like Vlad Guerrero Jr. So they're looking a lot at money, at cap flexibility if you're in basketball. You know, it's one of those kind of situations.
How old is this guy, Stroman?
I think he's in his late 20s.
In his prime. Yeah, he's in his prime right now.
Yeah, he's like 5 or 6 years into the league. He's had really, the majority of his seasons have been good. Last season, a little bit injury prone and not a great ERA. Really a bad season altogether for the Blue Jays. But he's been really good this year. Probably really one of the only glimmering hopes for the Blue Jays this year outside of Vlad Guerrero's hopeful future. And he could fill out a rotation that's already pretty decent right now in Atlanta. I just think his impact on that team, his ability to get wins, his ability to keep runs down with an offense like the Braves would be ideal. It'd be a great situation for him.
He's 28 years old.
Yeah.
He's gotten a really raw deal this year, 3.18 ERA, and his record is 5-9. I hate the win stat. You know, I hate when they give the Cy Young to the guy with a bunch of wins when another pitcher has far greater numbers than that pitcher overall, and he just happened to be on a great team, or he happened to be lucky. Look, I think there is a confidence factor that teams have behind some pitchers, and when you feel like you're playing behind a leader, maybe he has a great record with a 4 ERA because the team's got a lot of. I think there's, you know, that's part of the intangible element of the game. But I don't think Marcus Stroman's teammates hate him, and he's 5-9, and he's on a really, really bad team. And Justin Verlander started the All-Star game with having allowed 26 home runs this year. Marcus Stroman's allowed 10. Yep. So he's not giving up in a home run era. He's not giving up a ton of home runs, just 0.8 home runs a start, giving up a .249 batting average, 3.18 ERA. Love the fit for the Braves, but who is their chief competition in his services?
Yeah, right now it's a lot of people. I mean, there's a lot of contenders at the top, obviously a lot of them looking for pitching. When you talked about the worst ERAs of teams to make the playoffs, make the World Series, I mean, the Yankees are fighting for that record probably. They're around 12 or 13, right just above the Braves with team ERA, so they need starting pitching as well. Their starters have not been good this year for the Bronx Bombers. Thank God they score 25 runs a game and just hit home runs like crazy. So they've been able to stay on top, but they will be coming after guys like Stroman. The Red Sox, who are falling away in the AL East, are still only a couple games back in the wild card. They're looking at Marcus Stroman, at Zach Wheeler, at looking more pitching. The Dodgers even have been rumored with Marcus Stroman because of just the really cementing of being the best team in National League that you could give them putting him in their rotation right now. So there's a lot of people coming after it, but I think what helps is that the Braves have a farm system that has been chock full of talent for the last 4 or 5 years, and they're still chock full of talent. So there's people who are needing things that the Braves have in the minor leagues that the Braves might not need for a while, that you can start moving some of those guys because Acuna is working out, because Albies is working out. These guys are filling that void, so you don't have to look at the next shortstop or second baseman coming up, because you're going to have these guys in an outfielder with Acuna, because you're going to have these guys sitting around for the next handful of years in the major league system. So if you have to make a move, they have a lot of that talent to move, and the Blue Jays are looking to rebuild, so youth and money is what they need.
Good stuff. Our resident baseball guy at Diddy33 joining us here in studio, an addition that could make the Braves the team to beat in the National League. Diddy, thanks, bud.
Thank you.
All right, coming up next, a story about Dabo Swinney I guarantee you haven't heard before. This is Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. All right, so check this out. A story about Dabo Swinney that you haven't heard before, okay? So people from our station a few years ago were out at an open Clemson scrimmage, okay? And it was inside Death Valley Memorial Stadium. And one of the people from our company, who I'm told is no longer with us. We had a receptionist that I'm told was a total spitfire. Okay? Lonzo, do you know who this is? Who is this person?
Is it Edwina?
It was Edwina. Okay?
Edwina, yes.
Edwina.
She was an older lady. You could not get past her. She was awesome.
When you say she couldn't get past, no, you couldn't get past her, what does that mean?
That means if you were trying to get in the building, you could not get past her. She was on it. That's all I'm saying.
She was on it.
She had a great sense of humor, but you didn't want to mess with her.
Okay, so Edwina worked here before my time. Edwina. Is that better? Okay.
That is better.
Edwina. Edwina worked here before my time, and she was in her 80s, and she was wheelchair-bound, and she was the receptionist here at Entercom Greenville. So anyway, everyone from the station goes out to this event, scrimmage at Memorial Stadium, and Dabo's there and so on and so forth, and people are meeting and greeting the players. And over the course, you know, Dabo realizes that there's a woman in a wheelchair in the corner of the stadium. And, you know, and everyone else from the station is meeting and greeting and so on and so forth. And Dabo himself starts going over to see Edwina, and he has other players on the team coming over to see Edwina. He sees the old lady, the receptionist that worked here, Edwina, working at the game. And so he took it upon himself. No cameras there. No attention will be paid to that gesture, right? But he took it upon himself to make sure that Edwina was getting the same experience that everyone else was getting there. And those are the kind of things that I think you really admire. You know, look, if I'm going to tell you that I'm going to be fair and honest with you, then that means that I criticize where justified and that I praise where justified. And I just heard this story about Dabo Swinney yesterday in the building, and it's a moving story. You know, it's a moving story, because how many coaches would take time out of the scrimmage to do that? How many coaches would notice that here's a woman in the corner, I don't know who she is, but everyone else is meeting and greeting the team, and no one is really talking to her, and she looks just as happy as can be here in the corner, but let's go over there, let's talk to her, and from what I'm told, Dabo continued to send players over to meet and greet Edwina the entire rest of the scrimmage. Whenever someone was done with a drill, Dabo would send her over Edwina's way. So I think that's awesome. I really think that's awesome. And that's the kind of thing that that helps to form your opinion about somebody's character. So anyway, I knew that would be a story about Dabo Swinney that you've never heard before, because it's reserved to a few people within our building here. But now you know. And I believe it was G.I. Joe who said, knowing's half the battle. right? There you go. All right, coming up next, the ESPYs took place last night. The much ballyhooed ESPYs. Where the ESPYs got it right and where the ESPYs got it wrong is coming your way next. Right here on the most interactive sports show in South Carolina, you're Offsides with Mark Ryan on ESPN Upstate.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.